Real people.
Real celebrities.
Real talk.
Join the Breakfast Club.
Blast off in your
weekday
ear.
Morning, 6 to 10.
Yep, it's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. Charlamagne Tha God, Angela Yee. Envy still in Vegas?
Yes, he is.
Jesus Christ.
He's living a life.
God bless him.
I want to see his check.
We have Julia Beverly here, former publisher of Ozone. Now, you was more than a publisher of Ozone Magazine. You wasn't a publisher. You was the owner of Ozone Magazine.
I was the owner, publisher, editor, photographer,
money
designer.
Getter.
She was Ozone advertising
Magazine.
Director. we had a small staff.
Yeah, for a minute.
Yeah, Charlamagne used to do a monthly column.
Called the Chin Check, yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, and it was very informative, actually.
Did he get paid?
Man, but it was good for exposure.
we had an arrangement.
You gotta think, Ozone was huge, because there was no World Star and all that stuff back then. The only way to know about Southern rap was through Ozone Magazine.
Even I read Ozone Magazine. I grew up in Brooklyn, and I was into it. But you know what my favorite part was? Always Groupie Confessions.
I bet.
And Ozone, I used to be
We did some lip service interviews.
Yeah, I was actually in Ozone Magazine a couple of times. Lip service, when I used to do that.
You know, Angela was one of the first people in New York really to, I don't want to say embrace the South, but I just felt like she treated us like
people, humans.
Yeah, rather than, you know, you'd always get that attitude from people in New York, like, oh, y'all are
slow,
not part of us.
Yeah.
I think part of it was being on satellite radio, though, because satellite radio wasn't just regional. It was, you know, nationwide.
Yeah, that's true, too.
So I got to hear a lot of different things from all over. But I've always liked music from other places besides New York, too. So
yeah, but just in general, like, you go all over the country. And I'm not just saying this because I'm on the show, but you were really one of the first people, like, in New York to really, like, embrace people from other parts of the country as far as the music business.
And me and Julia was always cool. Now, a lot of people used to be like, oh, Julia's so dry. I try to be nice to her. She always act like she don't know me every time she sees me. You know how girls, we get very offended.
I get that, you know, but it's funny because, like, once you get in a certain position, people expect you to be very, like, outgoing and happy and friendly. And that's never been my personality. Like, I am very, I have, like, a dry sense of humor. So when people, like, somebody came to the in-store the other day that we did, and she was like, literally crying to, like, meet me, that she was excited to meet me. And I was like, you're excited to meet me? Like, for real? Like,
I'm Julia Beverly.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm just...
Now, where you're dressed up, because you're dressed up today, and I'm not used to seeing you like this.
Angela always teases me, because I'm always the one in the club, in the jeans and the sneakers. And, you know, Angela's got the shoe game on point, so she always wants me to go shoe shopping and step it up. So.
Actually, when you be working, though.
That's when you be in the club. You be, like, I used to always see you with your camera taking pictures
and stuff. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And you can't, when you're in heels and a dress, like, you can't maneuver the way you... Like,
you
when I'm at a concert, I'm, like, taking pictures, and I'm, like, hopping on speakers, and, you know, you can't really maneuver the way that you would in...
Now, what made you want to do a magazine focused solely on Down South hip hop? Like, what made you say, this is what I want to do?
It really wasn't a decision. Initially, I wanted to be a photographer. So I would look in, like, Vibe and The Source, and I'd be like, how do they get these jobs? Like, how do you get a job going to a concert and taking pictures? That looks like fun. So at first, Ozone was going to be, like, my portfolio to take to other magazines. And at the time when I started doing Ozone, that's when you had the Rick Rosses, the Slim Thugs, the Jeezys, like, there was a real movement building, and I would go to all these cities with the magazine, and I'd be like, how is nobody seeing this? Like, why am I the only photographer here?
Everybody wants to be on the cover of Ozone.
Yeah, we really had a great run. We did 8 years, 2002 to 2010. It was a monthly publication, ozonemag.com, and it just took off. I mean, we were really just in the right place at the right time. Because, like, if you look back at the very first issues we did were more... like, all genres of music. We did, like, reggaeton, Latino music, because Orlando is very heavily focused on that. But as it grew, that's when the South was really taking off. So we were just kind of naturally covering what was happening.
And that's where UGK comes into play.
Exactly.
So you actually knew Pimp C. You and Pimp C were cool.
Yeah, we were friends. He told me one time I was the only journalist he talked to. I mean, he did some great interviews with a few other people, but in general, he didn't really like doing interviews because he felt like he had been, you know, misquoted or people didn't really understand him. And so we kind of gave him, like, kind of how Charlamagne did the column. Like, he was doing a monthly column. Like, we gave him a platform to just say whatever he wanted to say. And we didn't edit it. We didn't censor it or anything like that. So I think he appreciated that.
And this is Pimp C's son right here, by the way.
Shout out to Corey.
Lil Pimp.
Just so you know, so you guys, it's not her security.
I was like, damn, I knew Julia liked black guys. Is that her son?
Right. So
you can't tell it's Pimp C's son. He kind of a favor.
No, you definitely look like him. Now, let's talk about this book, though, because I posted a picture. I was excited to get it early. And congratulations on you. I know this took you a long time to do. You couldn't even get a publisher to do the book for you. You did everything yourself.
Why couldn't you get a publisher for a Pimp C book?
That's a great question. I mean, I approached publishers. I talked to book agents when I first initially decided to do the project. And they would just be like, who is Pimp C? Like,
really?
Maybe my book proposal wasn't good enough. I don't know. But I didn't get much interest, if any. And I think they just don't understand, you know, the way that a New Yorker might react like to a Jay-Z. That's the way someone in Texas would react to a Pimp C.
Without question.
And but they don't know that if they're not there. So if you're not in Texas or you're not in the South, like you may not understand. Like I knew from doing Ozone, people love to read about Pimp C. Like,
right.
No
Even
question.
Even Jay-Z, so I mean.
I knew there was an audience for it, but I wasn't finding anyone really who understood that. So I got to a certain point in the project and I said, I'm just going to do it myself. I mean, that's. I said, what would Pimp do? I mean, mm-hmm. Pimp would have just done
what
it
Pimp
himself.
Do?
Yeah, what would Pimp C do?
So. Now, why 700 pages? Now, it is definitely on my list to read because I do enjoy reading. I'm glad you sent it to me early. But it's 700
Corey
pages.
Was born around page...
You know, I tried to trim it down. I mean, it really is. I've had people say that it they were able to get through it quickly. Because
it's
really,
an easy read. It's not like...
It's not a hard...
It reads
It's not
well.
A hard read. I tried to write it like almost like a movie script. So you're mm-hmm. going from like scene to scene and you're kind of following the story. So it's not a dry, you know, textbook. But
starts at the very beginning with his mom.
Yeah, it's really based around his mom basically narrated the book for me. Mm-hmm. And his mom was awesome. She passed away unexpectedly before we could actually put the book out. But we had finished, you know, going through his whole life. And what I found was that she was a major part of his success and just, you know, the attitude that he had and these funny catchphrases that he had. Like, he got all that from his mom. Like,
gotcha.
So hanging out with her was basically like hanging out with him. So I would just go to her house. She would just cook for me all day, tell me stories. He would be stealing my iPad, running around the house. And so she really was the story. Like, mm-hmm. that's ultimately what I found was that the story was him and his mom. You know, it's about rap, but I feel like it's something that anybody could relate to because it's really about family. And his mom was their manager, UGK's manager for 10, 15 years. Like, she was very involved, like, not only in his life, but in his rap career as well.
Because people were upset. Now, I posted the picture of the book, mm-hmm. and people started going in saying that his, you know, his wife would have a problem with this book coming out. They didn't want it to come out, and how dare you, and so on and so forth. But you had his mother's approval,
right?
Obviously, because she cooperated with it. So explain a little bit about what went on behind the scenes in trying to put something like this out. Because people don't understand, you can still, even without the consent of the family, you can still put out a book.
Yeah, I mean, you have a lot more freedom with we have freedom of speech in America. So you have a lot more freedom with a book than maybe, say, an album or something like that. But, it's complicated. There's division in Pimp's family. So when you talk about Pimp's family, it's not like it's one entity.
Mm-hmm.
I have a great relationship with most of the family.
Obviously, his son is right here.
Yeah. he had, he has two older sons prior to him getting married. And so his wife and his mom never got along. Mm-hmm. So initially when I had the idea, I called Bun, I called his wife, I called his mom and said, how would you feel about me doing this book? Everybody said it was a good idea. I moved forward. This was a 4 or 5 year process doing the research. So over that time, as I got closer to his mom, his wife just kind of stopped communicating, I think because of whatever issues they had.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to think, too. I mean, it would be hard, I think, to read a book like this because Pimp had other relationships with other women.
Right.
So that might be hard to read, but it's the truth. It's not like I made it up. So.
I could be wrong, but I remember, didn't y'all start working on this before Pimp died?
No, I mean, we did interviews. He would do interviews for the magazine, like, pretty much every month.
Gotcha.
So we had, anytime I needed anything, like, any type of content, I need a rapper to comment on this topic, like, he would just always call me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, hey, we're doing...
he always called me, even if I didn't ask him.
Yeah, well, he would call me at, like, 3-4 in the morning all the time, which that was, like, his MO. He would call everybody at, like, 4 in the morning mm-hmm. and just be like, hey, what are you doing? And just start talking. So he would just call me and say, hey, I want to do a column. I want to put this in the book. So I had probably, 20 interviews with him and I was able to use a lot of that content. So we had never actually talked about like doing a book, but when I approached his mom with the idea, like he had told her so much about me that she was already like totally on board with it.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, oh, he told me all about you and he loved you and your work ethic and all that. So I feel like he would have wanted me to do it.
Why Pimp C specifically? Because I mean, you came up around everybody. I mean, from the Cash Moneys to you know, the Jeezys, Rosses, whoever. Why T.I.? Why Pimp C? What drew you to Pimp
C? He has a great story, and he was just such a character, and he had so many other characters in his life. Like, even just sitting down with his friends and family, like, I got into their stories. Like, they're telling me their story, and right. You should write a book. You know, he just had a lot of really interesting characters in his life, and I almost called it, I was going to call it the 6 degrees of Pimp C, because throughout the book you have the Dungeon Family story, you have the No Limit story, the Cash Money story, the Lil Boosie story, the T.I. story, like all kind of weaved into the book, because he touched all those people in one way or another. So I didn't actually realize like just how connected he was to everybody.
Now, Corey, did you read the whole book?
Not yet. I'm getting through it.
How is it difficult for you to read? And are you learning things you didn't know about your dad?
I'm learning a lot of stuff that I didn't know, but it's not really difficult. Well, some parts are, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I put it down, but I pick it back up and, like, get through it, so.
What are some things that you learned that you didn't know that you were surprised?
Whew, a lot. like some of his dirt, you know. Mm-hmm.
He had a pocket full of stones.
You know, that used to be my favorite song when I was little.
Still mine, one of mine now.
Right, you found out a lot of dirt. But what about personality-wise?
He was a character, you know. But my mama always tell me I'm just like him. Now I see what she's talking about.
Uh-oh.
Just, you know, not all that yet, but all that, so.
What's your relationship like with Bambi?
Whew. We talk, I mean, if we see each other, we speak. But other than that, we don't really communicate.
Okay.
But, you know, it's no hard feelings or nothing, but it's just how it is.
Were you excited for this book to come out?
Yes.
What about, so other family members besides Corey and his mom was on board, who else do you feel like was really, because I'm sure with the other artists that you interviewed in this book, when his wife then had a change of heart, did that make other people have a change of heart too?
I mean, some people definitely are put in a hard position, I feel like. Mm-hmm. But all I can say, you know, as a writer, what I always try to do is get everyone's input. So I definitely gave his wife plenty of opportunities. Hey, if you want to, you know, I'm not biased. I'm not on anybody's side. If you want to give input, that's fine. But, you know, if I interview 250 people and 240 of them say negative things about you, I don't really have too much of a choice of what to write. So I could see why maybe she would be, you know, concerned about the way that she would come across in the book, but if I'm just repeating what I'm told, you know.
Well, give us a couple of stories that are in the book for people who haven't gotten it yet, because it is going to be quite a read. There's a million stories in here. Mm-hmm. It's over 700 pages. So just give us like a couple of highlights.
Is the Pimp C Jeezy situation in there?
It is.
Because I always wondered about like the details of that.
That actually started, that was partly my fault. Pimp would just call me, you know, as I said, like at 4 or 5 in the morning. So he calls me one time and he says, I want to do a column. I was like, okay, cool. So he was like, call me tonight, you know, we'll do the interview, whatever. So I finally get him on the phone and it's like 5, 6 in the morning, whatever. He was just on one, like he was just going off. He said he had just seen Lil Troy had made a video like talking about Rap-A-Lot or something. He was mad about something he had seen. Mm-hmm. So he just started going off and he said something about, he was like dissing somebody but didn't say a name. And I think I had asked him, like, was he talking about Jeezy? He was like, oh, I didn't say Jeezy's name or whatever. So I didn't think he was actually dissing Jeezy. Mm-hmm. But then when the article came out, you know, the Hot 107 in Atlanta called him and he did that crazy radio interview that a lot of people heard. And Jeezy, I guess, found out that he was dissing him or, you know, took offense to it. And that's kind of how that started. But I think he was upset because he had done a verse for Jeezy for free, and then Jeezy's label like sent him an invoice when he wanted to get the favor reciprocated. So it was kind of, he was upset with a few artists over similar Ludacris. And you know, sometimes it's like record label business. You know, the label might send an invoice and maybe it's not coming from the artist directly. But when he came out of prison, it was like a huge transition had taken place in the music industry, because prior to him going in, it was like, okay, you're my friend, we're gonna get in the studio, we're gonna work. And it wasn't like a money, you know, financial transaction type of thing. And then when he came out, you know, hip-hop is a huge like billion-dollar industry, and it's all about, you know, the label is sending this person an invoice and there's clearances and stuff like that. So I think he took offense to that in a number of situations.
Did Pimp C and Jeezy ever reconcile before he passed?
His mom told me that he had intended to, like, one of their last conversations, he said, I want to reach out to him and make it right. So she said that he intended to smooth things over with Jeezy, and he kind of regretted that he had made those comments. And Jeezy actually shouted Pimp out on stage the other night. He did his 10-year anniversary concert in Atlanta. So I think that situation probably would have been fixed had he not.
And he did, and My President Is Black.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's all love, you know.
So I think they're good.
You go in depth with his relationship with Master P as well. So.
Yeah, that, I mean, a lot of people have heard. There was always, like, rumors of, you know, Master P, like, pistol whipping him and kidnapping him. And so I really wanted to get to the bottom of, like, what actually happened. So I actually talked to the people who were at the hotel that night and said what actually did happen. So, yeah, that actually, I don't know if I said kidnap, but, yeah, Master P ran up in his hotel room with four people, held him down, pistol whipped him.
Pimp C?
Yeah.
Master P pistol whipped Pimp C?
Yeah.
You might want to read this book, Charlamagne.
I need to read that book.
Well, Pimp had kind of, and then Pimp kind of fell back because he said, well, I kind of started it because I was talking crazy. What sparked that was, you know, they had some issues to begin with. There was a dispute over, like, some money or some equipment that was supposed to take place. And he had Master P had cussed out C's mom on the phone, but she was the manager. Mm. And, you know, she had a mouth on her, too. So mm-hmm. I guess they had gotten into some kind of spat, and Master P said, you know, said something crazy to her. And so Pimp got on stage that night, and he said, had the crowd say, you know, no limit, and just went off. Mm-hmm. So Master P eventually found him, and I guess somebody said it was a love whooping. Like, he, you know, wanted to let him know he could be touched, but not, you know, hurt him.
Not really
bad.
Cheddar.
But his mom said that was part of the reason that Dirty Money took so long to take out, to come out, because it kind of threw off his whole, like, she said he was just very upset for, like, a couple months after that. Like, it just killed his whole, like, creative
A pistol
spirit.
Whipping will do that to you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And then, of course, there are other scenarios in here of his relationship with other women and everything, so.
Yeah, I try not to be messy. Mm-hmm. You know, I try not to get too
Well, if you put a story about a man getting pistol whipped
it.
In the book, you might as well put him out there getting some poom poom too.
Well, it's not salacious. It's not
right.
Not like graphic. But yeah, he had other women in his life. There's an interesting story. He went to a psychic about a couple months before he passed, and the psychic was his, like, one of his girlfriend's sisters, and their story was interesting. He was just asking, it was weird. He was asking questions about, like, different people around him, like, trying to, you could sense that he was not trusting some of the people around him. So mm-hmm. he went to a psychic actually asking about these people, like, what do you see when I say this name?
If that was, like, his girlfriend's sister, she could have been like, I think you need to be with my sister. All right, well, the book is available now.
What about chapter 28, though? That's the Rap-A-Lot chapter.
Chapter 28 is a Rap-A-Lot chapter. Yeah. Well, that was very interesting to me because I didn't get into hip-hop until 2002. So I didn't know that there had been this huge, like, the DEA was really trying for, like, a decade to get Rap-A-Lot, you know, get J. Prince under federal indictment, basically. And so what they tried to do was set up a lot of people that worked for Rap-A-Lot or were affiliated with Rap-A-Lot. They would set up situations where they have somebody call them and say, hey, there's a cooler in a hotel with $90,000 in it, and I'll leave the room key for you. You can come steal it. You know, they come get the cooler, and there's 6 kilos of cocaine in there, and then they try to entrap them and get them to provide information or whatever. So it was a whole crazy situation, and I don't know if I should have just let. I know Jay has a book coming out, from what mm-hmm. I heard, and yeah. So I don't know if I should have just let him tell his story. But I was so fascinated. You know, once I came across that story, I just felt like it needed to be included. And
well, yeah, I'm sure
it plays
he'll have a
into
whole other lot of things.
Yeah,
to talk
I'm sure
about.
I'm sure he'll have a whole perspective on
you
it.
Reach
but
out
the
to
reason,
him, like, hey, Jay,
yeah,
I
he
got
didn't
all this information. Maybe
he didn't want to do an interview. I mean, he's not really he doesn't really do interviews. But I would
he's
love to read his book.
Gangsters don't do it.
Yeah, exactly. I would love to read his book. But the reason I included it was because it helps you understand why Pimp C went to prison. Part of the reason why Pimp C went to prison, because at the time when he got arrested, he got arrested a week after the congressional hearings about Rap-A-Lot. So it was, when you understand all the things that had led up to that point. So here Pimp C gets arrested. He's affiliated with Rap-A-Lot. The FBI comes to see him while he's in the county jail and says, hey, if you can tell us something about J. Prince, we'll let you go. So he said that he was approached with offers. The FBI had paperwork on him. You know, they had a, and that's all. There was several times where people tried to set him up or tried to, you know, say that he was selling drugs and things like that. See, had a crazy life. But when you understand the Rap-A-Lot situation, it helps you understand why he decided to go to court and plead guilty to aggravated assault when all he had done was he got in an argument with the a woman at the mall, and he thought she was reaching for a weapon, like she reached in her purse, and he had a pistol, so he lifted his shirt and showed he had a pistol. So in Texas, that's aggravated assault. You can get 20 years for that.
And there's a lot in there about their situation with Jive Records. They always had a lot of issues with the label, and he does compare being signed to a record label or the music industry to prostitution.
Yeah, he made that comparison a lot. Well, they made a mistake, I would say, because they didn't really understand. Like, when their song took off, they sold 40,000 units independently. Mm-hmm. So they didn't really understand yet how to leverage that success to get a better record deal. Because somebody like, you know, E-40 talked about how he went to Jive. He had already sold, like, I don't know, 200, 250,000 units. And he said, hey, I need a better deal. So once you already have success independently, then you can negotiate for a better deal with the record label. But at the time, you got to think they were, I think, 17, 18 years old. Mm-hmm. His mom said when they came to New York to sign the deal, they got a youth discount ticket. That's how young he was. Like, at the time, they gave discount airfare. Yeah, I think he was 18 when they actually signed their deal. But they were just very young. They're from Port Arthur, Texas. They don't know anything about the music business. They're with Big Time Records, who doesn't know anything about the music business. So they were just very... He said there were some sheep getting ready for the slaughter. That's how Pimp C described it. So,
what does Bun B think about the book?
I saw Bun the other day. I interviewed him. I mean, he was one of the first people I interviewed. He provided a lot of information. I think the last thing he told me was that he's preparing to put out a book. I don't know how far along he is in that process, but he said, hey, I got to save some of my stories, you know, for my own book.
Right.
And I would love to read his book, too. But so I don't know what his, you'd have to ask him what his position is.
Well,
but
shout out
to
Bunny Rabbit. I saw that in there too.
Yeah, shout out to Bun.
that's his nickname?
Yeah, that's his. That's how he got his name. Bunny Rabbit.
I think he probably is mad at me for putting that
Bunny
in there.
Not Pimp C.
His family, His family did. I don't know if he's happy for me about me putting that out there, but yeah, that was his childhood nickname. That's how he got Bun B.
I'm going to text him a bunch of bunny rabbit emojis right now just to see what he says. Just the emoji, nothing else. Well, but the book is out. When is it out?
It came out Tuesday, yeah. Mm-hmm. Amazon's the best place to pick it up. We're setting up for a book signing tour. We already hit Houston, Dallas, Atlanta, but we'll be coming through, doing a pretty extensive tour, signing books. Corey will be with me at some of the dates.
Is Corey going to be able to pay for college off the sales of these books? Is he getting some money?
Yeah. Corey's out there hustling, too. Corey's a hustler, like his dad. He was selling DVDs at the. Well, I shouldn't say that. But
Corey. She said I shouldn't say that.
Did you have one last question? Did you ever used to experience, like, people saying, like, you're a culture vulture? Because, you know, they say that about
white
people.
I mean, I've heard that, but, you know, what did Pimp C say? Let me see.
You wrote the book. Tell us.
You ain't gots to like it, but you gots to respect me. So.
Okay.
If you don't like me, I don't really care. You know?
I like the way you did that, too, with your slang. You ain't gots to like
you
it.
I can't do the Pimp C imitation. His mom could do it perfect. Like, everybody I interview would try to do the Pimp C
voice.
Can
you do it, Corey?
I can't even do it. It's somewhere else I can do, but not all of them.
You going to try?
Like his...
Man, you might have to pay for that. You might have to charge for that ad lib, little bro. All right, Julia Beverly, thank you for joining us. Corey, appreciate
Thanks
you, man.
For having
no
me.
Problem. It's the Breakfast Club.